The engineering office is a hive of activity, in contrast to the view outside the windows, and nobody notices Cooper and the British spook as they slip inside and look over the operations controller's shoulder at his screens.
Left 10, up 6, someone calls. Looks like a hatch, says someone else.
Strange grey outlines swim on the screen.
Get me a bit more light on that.
Everyone falls silent for a while.
That's not good, says one of the engineers, a wiry guy from New Mexico who Cooper vaguely remembers is called Norm.
The big TV screen in the middle is showing a flat surface emerging from a grey morass of abyssal mud. A rectangular opening with rounded edges gapes in it. A hatch? And there's something white protruding from a cylinder lying across it. The cylinder looks like a sleeve. Suddenly, Cooper realizes what he's looking at. An open hatch in the sail of a submarine. The skeletonized remains of a sailor lying half in and half out of it.
Poor bastards probably try to swim for it when they realize the torpedo room was flooded, says a voice from the back of the room.
Cooper looks around. It's Davis, somehow still managing to look like a Navy officer, even though he's wearing a civilian suit.
That's probably what saved the pressure hull. The escape hatch was already open and the boat was fully flooded before it passed through its crush depth.
Cooper shivers, staring at the screen.
Consider Phlebas, he thinks, racking his brain for the rest of the poem. Okay, so what about the impact damage?
That's Duke, typically businesslike.
I need to know if we can make this work.
More activity. Camera viewpoints swivel crazily, taking in the length of the Gulf II class submarine. The water at this depth is mostly clear, and the barge floodlights illuminate the wreck mercilessly, from the blown hatch in the sail to the great gash in the side of the torpedo room. The submarine lies on its side, as if resting, and there's little obvious damage to Cooper's untrained eye. A bigger hatch gapes open in front of the sail.
What's that? He asks, pointing.
The kid, Steve, follows his finger.
Looks like the number 2 missile tube is open, he says.
The Gulf II class is a boomer, a ballistic missile submarine. An early one, diesel-electric. It had carried only 3 nuclear missiles and had to surface before firing.
Hope they didn't roll while they were sinking. If they lost a bird, it could have landed anywhere.
Anywhere? Cooper blinks.
Okay, let's get her lined up,
hollers Duke, evidently completing his assessment of the situation.
We've got bad weather coming, so let's haul.
For the next half hour, the control room is a madhouse. Engineers and dive control officers hunched over their consoles and mumbling into microphones. Nobody's ever done this before. Maneuvered a 3,000-ton grab into position above a sunken submarine 3 miles below the surface with a storm coming. The sailors on the Soviet spy trawler on the horizon probably have their controllers back in Moscow convinced that they've been drinking the antifreeze again, with their tale of exotic, capitalist hyper-technology stealing their sunken boomer. The tension in the control room is rising. Cooper watches over Steve's shoulder as the kid twiddles his joystick, demonstrating an occult ability to swing cameras to bear on the huge mechanical grabs, allowing their operators to extend them and position them close to the hull. Finally, it's time.
Stand by to blow pressure cylinders, Duke announces. Blow them now.
10 pressure cylinders bolted to the grab vent silvery streams of bubbles. Pistons slide home, propelled by a 3-mile column of seawater, drawing the huge clamps tight around the hull of the submarine. They bite into the mud, stirring up a gray cloud that obscures everything for a while. Gauges slowly rotate, showing the position of the jaws.
Okay on even 2 through 6, odd 1 through 7. Got a partial on 9 and 8, nothing on 10.